Now on the other end of our line is Congressman Mark Schauer. Congressman, how are you?
Great, Tony. How are you?
Well, you know, I wanted to go the Enbridge way, but since we had phone issues here, I wanted to get your take on the proposed bill that next year would allow the government to basically tap into Texas emails, into any form of communication, if they believe security has been breached. What's your take on that?
Well, that makes me very concerned. That makes me very, very concerned. You know, privacy is obviously critical. I guess I'd need to see the bill, but my first reaction is there are concerns. I mean, you know, I guess that's all I can say at this point.
Let's talk about Enbridge. They are testing the pipeline that runs along the Kalamazoo River. You are well aware that more than 1 million gallons of crude oil was dumped into that river. You held a hearing in Washington, D.C. on the subject. You've been working on it quite closely. What's your thoughts about Enbridge reopening that pipeline?
Well, this is the first step of a long journey, and I'll tell you, Enbridge was pushing to restart its pipeline within days of, you know, the pipeline rupture, and my committee began its investigation immediately. We began asking questions, not just of Enbridge, but of the federal regulatory body. It's called PHMSA, the Pipelines and Hazardous Material Safety Administration. And, you know, I met with their people, including the transportation secretary, they're under Department of Transportation, and the deputy secretary, and pressed them. I told them in terms that, you know, they stand between the people and public safety and environmental protection and Enbridge, and that they needed to do their job. And what I called for, since, you know, as I did my digging, I found that there are 329 known defects in this line 6B that runs through Michigan that Enbridge hadn't gotten around to fixing. And so I called for a full inspection of the pipeline, and that all defects should be repaired. Well, that's basically what PHMSA required as part of this restart. And so they've gotten tough. It should have happened a long time ago, but I'm going to monitor this every step of the process. I told the Deputy Transportation Secretary I want to be notified of the status of the repair of each of those 329 defects, including replacing the pipe, the dented pipe that runs under Lake St. Clair or the St. Clair River. So, you know, I have reservations for sure, and I'm going to continue to monitor this at every step.
Let's switch gears to some national topics. Do you think that deficit spending in Washington is hurting the value of the dollar and will cause inflation?
Well, it hasn't. It hasn't yet. I mean, inflation is very low, and the Federal Reserve has been monitoring that very carefully. I mean, I'm very concerned about the deficit. You know, I walked into a $1.3 trillion deficit. The Bush economic policies not only didn't work, but they drove up the federal deficit and the national debt. And the challenge has been to get the economy going, and so there is a very delicate balancing act that I'm a part of, and that is to control the deficit, rein in wasteful spending, while getting the economy going. And, you know, that's what I'm going to continue to work on.
Isn't it the job of Congress to pass a budget for funding government? And it seems like the Congress hasn't done this yet.
Right, right. Well, that's why I'm actually heading back to Washington today. And this week, the House and Senate have to pass a version of a budget. And what it will probably be, since the fiscal year starts October 1, is kind of a continuation budget where it will kind of keep government agencies and federal spending going at about the current year level. And it's not, that's not a substitute for real appropriations bills that scrutinize spending in every federal department and in every appropriations area. That has to happen, so I'll expect kind of a continuation budget to be passed this week.
We're talking with Congressman Mark Schauer on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS.
Could I say this, Tony? You asked about deficit spending. You asked about the appropriations process. This is what's wrong with Washington. I've been singled out by this group, Club for Growth, very, very, very conservative group, as the most hawkish among Democrats in the Michigan delegation in going after wasteful spending. So I take, and even more hawkish than a couple of Republicans in our delegation, and I'm going to continue to do that. This sort of partisan paralysis in Washington is what's wrong. And, you know, the election is 5 weeks from today, 35 days from today, and I'm angry and frustrated too. And what I hope that people will look for on election day is people who can work together and people that can solve problems, because we've still got some serious problems to solve about helping the private sector create jobs, only spending taxpayer dollars on what is essential and what contributes to economic growth and our national security and things that are absolutely important to us being a stronger country.
Can you name any legislation on which you voted in opposition of Speaker Pelosi and the Democratic Party in Congress?
Oh my gosh, yes. I'll tell you a couple recently. They've been related to China. And I am sick and tired of our jobs going to China, and for us to let China continue to, cheat and manipulate its currency and subsidize their products and close their markets to our goods. And there were two different bills over the last several months that dealt with tax credits for individuals that were buying energy efficient products or appliances and insulation and so forth to make their homes more energy efficient. Actually, a 50% tax credit right at the cash register. And I found that some of the goods that were eligible for that tax credit were products made in China. For example, air conditioners. I went to a Home Depot to look at their air conditioners that would be eligible. They were all, Tony, all of them made in China. So I said I would not support the use of our tax dollars to create jobs in China rather than jobs here. So, those are a couple of examples, and I will put my foot down. When it comes to seeing our jobs outsourced and exported to China. I was very clear recently. I was just had my first meeting as a part of the President's Export Council, and I spoke up in this meeting with the President and expressed concern about the South Korea so-called free trade agreement, and that would cost us manufacturing jobs and particularly automotive jobs here in Michigan. And I've been very clear as part of a bipartisan trade working group to the President that he should not send this trade agreement, by the way, that George W. Bush negotiated, and expect me to vote for it.
Congressman,
I'm not going to do it.
Congressman, it seems like China has us over a barrel. We owe them trillions of dollars, and it appears through their actions that their take on this is we're going to do what we want to do. We build things a lot at a price that no one else can compete with, and we're going to continue to do that, and we're going to continue to leave the trade rules where they are because America can't do anything. They owe us money.
Well, we can certainly do it. I mean, they buy our treasury bonds. I mean, they our treasury bills. They you know, invest in the United States because it's a very stable, safe investment. That's what they do. And I think there's a you know, we should not allow that to affect us standing up for our workers and standing up for our businesses. We should not coddle this country or any country that is cheating, whether they know they're doing it or not know they're doing it. I mean, you know, Japan, for example, I pressured the Obama administration on this too, as well as Japan's ambassador, was shutting out cars in their own cash for clunkers program. They knew what they were doing. Just like South Korea imposes non-tariff trade barriers to our cars, you know, so the result is for every 100 automobiles that South Korea sends us, we can only send one there. They know what they're doing. And, you know, China, they just got busted as a member of the World Trade Organization for subsidizing their solar energy companies and wind energy companies for the purposes of exports. That's a WTO violation. What they're doing is they are undercutting the prices of their products for the purpose of exports. That's a WTO violation. So, you know, I expect tomorrow or Thursday that the House, the U.S. House, will pass a bill designating China as a currency manipulator. And that designation provides the United States a number of tools to impose tariffs, to impose sanctions, to impose penalties against China. And that's exactly what we should do.
Congressman, I know you're busy. I have just a couple of more questions. Six months later, do you still agree with your vote for health care?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, just last week, some very important provisions came into effect where people can no longer be considered pre-existing conditions. That's one way that insurance companies denied people coverage. Now people will no longer go broke, literally go bankrupt because of annual insurance limits or lifetime limits. You know, people no longer will pay out of pocket for, you know, preventive care. That includes Medicare recipients. And by the way, you know, I'm being attacked by the National Republican Party for Medicare cuts. What they don't say is that Medicare savings are coming out of the insurance industry, primarily, who have been overcharging the federal government for Medicare. So Medicare is strengthened. Seniors will no longer be falling in the prescription drug donut hole. Families will not go broke because, you know, and medical bills are the leading cause of bankruptcy in this country. Small businesses are receiving tax credits that previously hadn't been available to cover the cost of insurance. So there's a high-risk pool that's now available for people with pre-existing conditions. So it is going to help our country. It's going to make us more competitive. And let's talk about international competition one more time. Most people don't think about this. They're facing, you know, double-digit premium increases every year, whether they're a business or a family. We spend about, as a country, 16% of our nation's economy on healthcare. 16%. Our competitors spend between 9 and 10% of their economies on healthcare. And we're, like, handing them a club to beat us over the head with and take our jobs. So this is a problem that needed to be fixed. And it is, you know, it's already being implemented. It's going to help families. It's going to help businesses in this country. It's going to help seniors.
And Derek, a avid listener of the program, sent this question. Democrats were elected largely to end the war in Iraq. Why are 50,000 troops still remaining there? Why are we building a huge embassy there? And are we going to stay there for a long period of time like we have in Japan, Germany, and Korea?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to the last question. I supported the president's policy, and I was very vocal in opposing the war in Iraq. It was the wrong war, President Bush took our troops in under false pretenses. Our troops were heroes, and sadly, a young man from Athens, just adjacent to my district, was killed in Iraq. The president kept his promise of withdrawing troops. And so it is a presence to assist the Iraqis in the transition. I want to get all of our troops out of Iraq as soon as possible, and I will push the president, no matter who that is, to help make that happen as quickly as possible.
And then finally, Congressman, Derek asks, he wonders about risking Social Security in the stock market because he thinks that it's, you know, you're risking it in the stock market, but it appears it's guaranteed to go broke in its current state. What's your take on that?
No. Well, it's, you know, this has been a hot issue in this campaign and for good reason. Elections are about differences. I mean, first we talked about trade. Tim Walbert thinks outsourcing is good for our economy. I'm fighting to end outsourcing. We talked about the war. Tim Walbert thought the weapons of mass destruction are still in the desert somewhere. On Social Security, Tim Walbert wants to privatize Social Security. Those are his own words. He wants people to stop paying into Social Security.
How are you going to fix it? How are you going to fix it, Congressman?
Well, here's the point, and the Republicans, this is part of their strategy. They want to eliminate Medicare and turn it into a voucher program, and they want to privatize Social Security. So to sort of serve their end, they're trying to scare people into thinking that Social Security is bankrupt, that it can't pay Social Security out to beneficiaries. And Social Security can pay 100% of benefits through the year 2037, the next 27 years. And even beyond that, if the Congress did nothing, it would pay about 75% of benefits. Social Security works, and it's a promise that I intend to keep, that we pay in our whole careers, and then we know it will be there for us. And you know, just like in 1983 when there was a bipartisan fix with Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill to strengthen Social Security to make sure it was there for the long haul, the Congress will do that again. I look forward to being a part of doing that in a way that won't cut benefits. Now, what privatization does, and Tim Walbert, he's all over the map, but he's said it. He supports privatization. He says he wants people to stop paying into the Social Security Trust Fund and pay into Wall Street for these private accounts. Now, the problem is that by money no longer going into the Social Security Trust Fund, that will cut benefits. That there's no ways about it. And the other thing is, if people had their money invested on Wall Street with Tim Walberg's friends making, you know, their profits, and it'd be more expensive to do it that way, people would be risking something that is intended to be there to provide security for them in retirement.
Congressman, I got a minute left. Why is this race between you and Tim Walbert turned so nasty?
Well, this is what Tim Walbert does. I mean, this is what he did to Joe Schwartz. This is what he did to me last time with these shadow groups. We don't even know who these billionaires are that are investing in these ads. Of course, the National Republican Congressional Committee. The story that I'm telling is that I didn't go to Washington to work for Wall Street or work for my party. I went to fight for Michigan. I'm fighting for Michigan jobs, Michigan manufacturing, to end outsourcing, to keep the promise of Social Security and Medicare, to invest in things like education that will really help secure our economic future. And, you know, if you look at what Tim Walbert is talking about, it's just attack. And, you know, he had one term in Congress. And I think ultimately, you know, it's a pretty easy case for people to make about, you know, what I've been able to deliver in 2 years, what he's been able to deliver in 2 years. And I look forward to some face-to-face debates to have him defend, you know, his desire to privatize Social Security and that outsourcing is good for our economy. But ultimately, Tony, you know, elections are about choices. And in this case, there's a very clear choice.
You beat him once, you're going to beat him again?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Congressman, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony.